This is Roots in the Wilderness, and this episode is about a snow and ice travel training weekend. Welcome back to Roots in the Wilderness, everybody. My name is Kate Hamilton, and today I'm talking to you about a snow and ice training weekend that my friend and I took. So a little bit of backstory. I think that you guys know that I love to scramble. So I love hiking too, but I really love scrambling because it just adds a new element of fun and excitement and route finding. And my main partner that I go scrambling with, her name is Jacqueline. She's a good friend of mine. And her and I have been on this mission to conquer some more mountains, get to all the peaks that we can. And for, you know, over a year, we've been wanting to do some bigger mountains, which include glacier and snow crossings. And we want to be able to do all of this safely. So we've been wanting to take a course. The course that we found was, it's called Snow and Ice Long Weekend. It was offered through Yamneska Mountain Adventures. And we had planned to take it last year, but of course, finances and getting time off and stuff got in the way. So we eventually got around to doing it this year. So that's what this is about. It's just a little overview of what the weekend was about. So if you're somebody who's kind of in a similar place to us and just wanting to push your mountain travel to the next level, this is something to consider. The location for this course is at the Columbia Ice Fields, and it ran from Saturday through till Monday. So on Friday after work is when Jacqueline and I took off to go head out there. When it was all said and done and we were all ready, we arrived at the Ice Fields campground, which was our meeting spot at 10 p.m. It was pouring rain and there was no campsites. And so we went down the road to another campground. There was no campsites there. So we ended up sleeping in the car, which actually worked out because it was rainy. And honestly, I hate setting up my camp in the rain. So it worked out. And I have a Honda Fit, and it's called a Honda Fit. I tell people because it fits everything, which means that we both slept totally comfortably in the back of my car. I mean, if you were a tall person, it might not work for you, but love my car. So we did that. And then in the morning, we met the rest of the group and the guide at the cook shack at the Ice Field campground. And we started out by just getting our gear. So the gear that was included in the course was a harness, climbing harness, and ice screw, prussic ropes, a sling, carabiners, crampons, ice axe, helmet. And then if you needed to rent some mountaineering boots, which both Jacqueline and I did, then the guide James had brought them with him there. And so the first thing we started out with was making sure that all the gear was fitting properly and that everyone knew how to use everything. And that took a tiny while to do all of that. And after that, we kind of just went over what people knew already. There were a couple climbers in the group, a couple ice climbers, me that I'm just like a, you know, hiker, scrambler, but I have done some climbing, so I'm pretty familiar with some of this stuff already. After we chatted for a bit, we got right into it, and the first thing we did was learn how to attach ourselves to a main line. So there was a couple of knots that you need to know how to do for that, and we went through those, a prussic knot, figure eight knot, made sure that everybody knew how to do those properly. And then we got in our cars and headed out to a nearby spot called Parker Ridge, and we hiked up there for a while so we could find ourselves some snow. And once we got there, we learned how to walk properly with the ice axe, or using our ice axe to cross and travel around the snow. The next thing we learned was how to rescue ourselves if we lose our footing on the snow, using the ice axe to dig into the snow, which is pretty important because you don't want the ice axe to dig into you. So how to hold your ice axe and how to use it properly, very important. I actually did later in the day slip on the snow and start sliding down, and I properly rescued myself using the ice axe. So I was pretty impressed with myself because, you know, you learn all these skills and then you think that you know them until you actually need them. So I was very happy that I was able to swing myself around and stop myself from sliding down the hill more. So after James, our instructor, was pretty sure that we could all rescue ourselves, or so I think, we moved into crevasse rescue. So when you're crossing snow and ice, everybody on your team is attached to each other by a line, a big long rope, with a certain distance in between depending on what you're crossing. And if one of those people is to fall into a crevasse, there's some things that you need to do as a team. So the first thing we did was practice what would exactly happen if somebody fell in, and how we would stop them from going any further. And then we learned how to rescue them. So we learned how to build a snow anchor because we were in not ice. We were in snow-like conditions this day. So we built a snow anchor. And every person on the team has a different job when building this snow anchor. So we all took turns doing the anchor, pulling the person out, also being the victim, hanging in the crevasse, and what you do as that person to help themselves, to help them and the rest of your team out as they're trying to rescue you. And we spent basically a whole afternoon doing that, which was really good because we all took turns and had a chance doing the different parts of the rescue. So we all felt confident, or so we thought, in the different places. We did this, as I'll go into later, we did this on the next day also because it's really important once you learn a skill to practice it later just to make sure that it's really sunk in there. We finished off the day by learning just a couple of extra things. One was shortening and lengthening the rope between team members as we were traveling. And then the other one was just how to properly descend in the snow. And that was it for day one. It went by pretty fast, covered so much stuff. And then we spent the afternoon in the campground just drying out the gear and hanging out. Jacqueline and I actually felt like we were on vacation. It was so great. The location is just so beautiful out there. And we're really into it. We really wanted to be there. So although it's a course and we were there to learn, we're having so much fun. And the group was so nice. Everybody was so friendly. So that was a plus. And the next morning, day two. So we met again at the cook shack at 9 a.m. We started the first day at 9 a.m. too. And from there, we just did a check-in, make sure everybody was good. Everybody still had their gear, had everything they needed for the day. And then we went and drove to the base of the Athabasca Glacier, and we spent the day there. So the first thing that we did, and we spent quite a while doing it, was practice walking around in crampons. So it had been quite a while since I've had crampons on. And honestly, wearing crampons is like wearing Velcro on your feet. It's such a strange feeling. At first, when you put them on, you don't want to trust them. And when you go down hills, you kind of run like we would if we didn't have crampons on. But really, they stick right into the ice and hold you right in place up to quite an incline. It's really fun. So we spent a while going over different types of features on the glacier and going in circles on steeper hills and stepping over things. And honestly, in like half an hour, I felt 100 times more comfortable with them and trusted them a whole lot more. So it's just about doing, really. And then after that, we went back to our crevasse rescue, which we spent quite a while doing again. But this time, since we're on the glacier on more ice, we learned how to build an ice anchor, so using ice screws. So similar to the snow anchor, the first part isn't. So the snow anchor, you're burying an ice axe in the snow, tying a prussic knot to it, and then attaching from there. And then the ice screw, basically it was so easy. You just screw into the ice and then you go from there with your knots and stuff. And then we practiced again, just taking turns in different positions along the main line, making sure that everybody was comfortable doing crevasse rescue no matter where they were in relation to the victim who fell in the snow. So I have to say, the first day after doing the crevasse rescue, while watching other people do it, I felt like it all made total sense, and I felt like I knew what I was doing. But then when it came to be my turn, I wasn't 100% sure and was just asking for verification. But then after the second day, I totally got it. It made all the sense in the world, and was easily able to do it. So I think that second day of all that practice was really beneficial to me. James, our guide, was awesome too. He was teaching us all about glaciers, and he knew all the different peaks around, which is super interesting to me. Getting better with all the names of the different mountains around the areas I've been is something that I'm trying to work on. So I really appreciate James telling us the names of them and retelling us when I forgot and was asking again. So thank you, James. Then the last thing that we did on day two was a bit of ice climbing. So like I said before, there was a couple of guys in the group who are ice climbers. And then I know Jacqueline's done some ice climbing, and then the two other people had also done a little bit of ice climbing. So I was the only person who had never tried it before. So I was a bit nervous, only because I, A, didn't want to look bad, and B, we weren't climbing from the ground up. So if we had had a top rope and I could have started on the ground and then just started climbing up, I wouldn't have been as worried, because the way we did it was we lowered each other into a hole and then climbed out from there. So it was the sink or swim method. Either I climb out of this hole that they've put me in, or I have to be super embarrassed when everybody pulls me out of the hole. So to me, that wasn't an option. I had to force myself to climb out. But it was really good. I was pretty impressed that I did it. I was happy with myself. And they taught me, well, James and everyone else, too, the proper way and body position for ice climbing. And it was lots of fun. So I was really pleased with myself. Nice way to end the day, too, trying something 100% totally new to me. After our climbs, we just headed back down to the base of the glacier and had a little meeting about our prep for day three. So the third day is the mountain summit day. So we had a few options. Our number one choice was to go up Mount Athabasca, but it all depended on the freeze overnight and whether it was going to be safe or not. But we did prepare to do that. So we went back to camp, we dried out our gear, we did everything that we needed to do in preparation for the next day, because we wanted to be hiking, not just getting up at 2:30 in the morning, so that we could have the highest chance of meeting our goal. So that's what we did. We packed up our whole bag. Well, we dried out the gear first, packed up our whole bag, including our lunch, stuck our lunch in our bag in the car so we could basically roll out of bed at 1:45 a.m. And I think we all were in bed by 7:30. I don't know how everybody else slept. I didn't sleep that well, but at least I did get some rest. And at 1:45 in the morning, up we were, Jacqueline and I, in the car by 2, and we were at the trailhead. The trailhead is 5 minutes from the campground, so we were there at like 2:05, which was enough time for me to make myself a coffee, because I need my coffee in the morning. And then we departed the trailhead just before 2:30, and at that time, it was already 10 degrees, so it was middle of the night in the ice fields, and it was 10 degrees, so I immediately didn't have the highest hopes that we were going to get up Mount Athabasca. From the parking lot, we walked up, it was actually kind of where the bus tour route, we went up like a road for a bit, and then we started hiking straight up a moraine. So it was moderately steep, and we just went slowly, took our time, and had a break every hour or so. And I just love hiking in the dark. It's so relaxing with our headlamps on, and it's so dark out there with all the stars. It was beautiful. And there were even some northern lights out at that time. So I just found it super enjoyable. And the temperature, 10 degrees, that was just perfect for me for hiking. It was like meditating almost, hiking in the dark like that. It's very, very enjoyable. So I think it took us about 2.5 hours to hike up to where the foot of the ice is for the North Glacier. And unfortunately, when we got there, there had been no freeze. So we had to change our plan from Mount Athabasca to go up to Boundary Peak. On the bright side, we still got to do a bunch of snow and ice crossing, which was really what Jacqueline and I were there for. So we did practice the skills that we learned. I mean, nobody fell into a crevasse, which is good. We don't want to have to use those skills, but knowing them is good. But it was cool to actually go across and step over a crevasse and just put everything that we had learned the past 2 days into practice. Eventually, we finished crossing the snow and ice parts and made our way back to rock, where we took off our crampons and started hiking up again. And this time, the terrain was definitely more rocky, a little bit more scree. And we hiked up for, not too much longer. And then we took a good long break behind a big rock out of the wind so we could have our lunch, which was at 6:30 a.m. at that time, which is kind of weird because it felt like noon, but it was so early. And we watched the sunrise. Oh, and it was so beautiful. Like I said earlier, hiking in the dark and then being there when the sun was coming out was amazing. We got that glimpse of pink sky, which was really beautiful. And we spent a while there just having a nice long break. And then we continued on for that last push up to the top of Boundary Peak. And it was a fairly, I'd say moderate, the rest of the hike to the top of the peak there. Really beautiful, very rocky. We went through some kind of rock columns, which was really cool, and eventually made it to the summit. We had such a beautiful view from the top. The peak Boundary Peak is called that because it's right on the border of Banff National Park and Jasper National Park, hence the name Boundary. Very clever. And once we're at the top, we, you know, had a little photo shoot up there and took another little break, and then we started our descent. For a good while, it was kind of a scree slope. We went down a different way that we came up, a faster way. By the time we were down that scree slope, all of our feet were pretty sore because we were all wearing rented boots, so they weren't broken in. Luckily for me, I didn't have any blisters, but doesn't really matter what shoes I wear. I always tend to jam my toes into the front of the boot. I think the boots were a little bit wide for my feet, so they were moving a little bit, so it was easier to get to the toes to the front of the boot. But I know two of the people in the group had huge blisters, and I was really feeling for them. So that was a challenge. So after the scree slope, we went through some beautiful alpine meadows, and eventually we meandered all the way back down to the bottom where we had parked our car. And I think when we got actually back to the car, it was like 9:15 a.m. So we left at 2:30 or just before 2, maybe around 2:50, and got back around 9:15. So it was a 7-hour journey, and we did have lots of breaks, but it was a really good journey. So I'm really happy that we did do that, even though at first I was a little disappointed that we couldn't do Mount Athabasca. But that just gives me a reason to go back so I can complete that mission. We soon headed back to the campground one last time to meet there, and we returned all of our borrowed gear to James, our guide. James, who I had asked on the way up how many times he'd been up to the top of Athabasca, and he said, oh, you know, a few hundred times. So lots of experience there. He also said that he'd been with Yamnuska Mountain Adventures from the beginning, so like 40 years, which, wow, that's a long time. Pretty crazy. So we returned all our gear to James and kind of said our goodbyes, and that was it. That was the weekend. So, yeah, it was a great weekend. Honestly, it's a beginner weekend for sure. If you have not had any experience in any kind of climbing, I could see how it would be a little bit overwhelming learning the different things because it's all new. So for me and for Jacqueline and for everyone else in the group, we had at least done a lot of the things before, so it wasn't totally new. So I could see how if you were a complete and total beginner, how it might be a lot, but still totally doable. Just maybe a little bit more practice would be needed. The other thing is the hike. So Jacqueline and I hike every weekend. So hiking up the mountain, that was no big deal to us. But there was a group at the campground who left with a guide to attempt to go to Athabasca the day before us. And they turned around because none of them could do it because of their fitness level. So it is important that even if you take this course, this beginner course, you're still climbing a mountain. So a certain level of fitness is really necessary to do it. The other thing to note is I didn't look up the campground before I had left and we hadn't stayed there before. I just kind of assumed, not thinking that the campground would be a regular kind of car camping place where you could have a flush toilet or water, but it was outhouses and there was drinking water that you could go get, and they did have firewood, but don't go there expecting that you're going to have a shower and sinks and stuff. All in all, the weekend was a success. I learned a lot of the things that I really wanted to learn. I brushed up on some of the skills that I haven't used in a very long time. And most of all, I really wanted to make sure that I can mountain travel safely. So I have a couple of friends who sometimes call me Constable Kate because I like to do things properly and safely. So I'm not taking that as any offense because I think that's a good thing. And that's why I took this course. I just want to make sure that when I'm out there, I am safe. I'm the first to admit that probably Jacqueline and I have crossed some things that were, you know, less than ideal. But the more that I learn now, and again from the avalanche skills that I've learned now, it's going to just help me just do more confidently, competently, and safely. So yeah, I recommend checking it out. And I think that's it. If you have any questions about the course or anything, feel free to get in contact with me. And thanks for listening. My name is Kate Hamilton, and this is Roots in the Wilderness.